at verse 23 and read through verse 26. By the Spirit of God, the beloved Apostle Paul has written, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you please. 1 Corinthians, the next book over, chapter 1 and verse 30. The words of the Apostle Paul again writing, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Go back to Romans chapter 8, if you don't mind. The 8th chapter of Romans, let me read verse 28 and 29, or 29 and 30 rather. Or begin at 28, be a good beginning of that section, reading through 30. "And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified." May God bless the reading and the hearing of His precious word. There are three words that I would like to bring to your heart this morning from the Word of God and the Scriptures which we have read. And they are these: justified, sanctified, glorified. Can I repeat it? Justified before God, sanctified to God, and glorified by God. Three words: justified, sanctified, glorified. Now one thing is very sure: unless a person has been justified, they'll never be sanctified. And if they've never been justified, they'll never be glorified. And here are three precious words of doctrinal truth that every man, woman, boy, and girl should understand. To be justified, to be sanctified, and to be glorified. And may I say, my beloved friend, brother and sister, as well as anyone that may be unsaved, these are three words that God would have you understand and know and experience. To be justified, to be sanctified, and to be glorified. Look me with me in the chapter of Romans 3, where we read, and in Romans chapter 3, we read those wonderful words from verse 23 through verse 26 that tell us very plainly how we can be justified. May I raise the question kindly, lovingly? Is there anyone here that has never been justified? For may I say to you, God wants you to be justified. And I'm sure you may be asking the question, if you never have, what does it mean to be justified? The word justified means to be cleared of every charge of sin that God has against you. For the opposite meaning of justification is condemnation. To be condemned. And may I remind you, if you've never believed on the Lord Jesus, you are already condemned. When the Lord Jesus in John 3:17 said, he that believeth on me is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. God wants you to lose that condemnation, to be freed from that condemnation, for he condemned. Now look at our chapter, please, in verse 23. Here you read the condemnation in verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is the condemnation. And if you please notice, God doesn't miss anyone. He says everyone has sinned. Everyone has sinned. I remember a dear servant of God when he questioned a lady about being saved as a sinner coming to Christ. The first thing she said, she drew herself up haughtily and said, I'm not a sinner. Well, she was lying then. But thank God she found out she was a sinner later on and trusted the Savior. But here's the universal condemnation. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now please note from those three words, justified, sanctified, and last of all, glorified. You'll never be glorified if you're a sinner when you die that's never been saved. But how can a sinner who is condemned be saved? How can a sinner be justified? Let's read on. Let's ask the question, as you have in verse 24. What does it cost to be justified? What must I do to find my sins taken away? How much will it cost? Let me point out to you, being justified freely by God's grace. Can I point it out once again? You can be free from your sins, condemnation, by God's grace freely. For you it will not cost a penny. For me, it will not cost a penny. God will justify you freely according to the riches of his grace. Meaning, he is merciful and gracious to offer you this justification freely. Have you refused it? Are you still refusing it? God says, I offer it to you freely. The cost of it for you, it is free. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. But please, if the cost for you and for me is free, please would you know, why can God do it? What is the source of this grace? Read the rest of the verse. It is through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It is because the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, paid the penalty for your sins upon the cross of Calvary. Can I repeat it again? I wanted to sink in. If it needs to, don't do. It is only because God's Son came from heaven and went to the cross of Calvary to be your sacrifice for your sins. And paid the penalty. He gave himself a ransom, the price for all. For you, free. He paid it. And then he quotes the words of another. God will never twice payment demand. First at my bleeding surety's hand, and then again at mine. Now may I put it this way? He paid it. You get it free, but don't you try to pay it even afterwards. It's completely done when you trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Are you justified? Let's read on. as you know, and what a joy to realize the source of that justification is because Christ redeemed my soul in the cross of Calvary when he paid the penalty for my sin. That's why God can do it. You know John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Why? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Your justification is free. The price he paid, and we sing the old hymn with joy, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washes it white as snow. And beloved, let me say again, universally none of us deserve this justification. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But here is God saying, freely, by his grace, he offers this redemption, this justification to every sinner. Let's go on and note in verse 26, in verse 25, the means, the way you can be justified. What must I do to be justified? We've already stated you cannot pay for it. But let's look and see, what must I do to be justified? Verse 25. Whom God, that is Christ, God has set forth a propitiation. He has met the need for my sins. Can I say this again? And I have joy in the knowledge of it. All my sins, he met the need of them from the beginning of my life to the end. Can I repeat it again? Look. Not only my past sins, not only my present, but even my future, if there be any. And sometimes there are, unfortunately. But all my sins, he met the need for them. He became the propitiation for them on the cross of Calvary. But how do I get this justification? Through faith in his what? Blood. My beloved, if you've never been justified, will you do this? Just while we were singing, I do believe, I will believe, that Jesus died for me, that on the cross he shed his blood. There it is. From sin to set me free. That's what he says. Through faith in his blood. And my friend, let me pause for a moment and put it clear to your heart and conscience. If God has never justified you yet, you put your faith in the blood of Christ. What can wash away my stain? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I think of a dear man I knew he was, last time I saw him alive, and he died very soon afterwards. But as I asked him, how do you know you're going to be in heaven? You know what he answered? I wanted to hear him tell it. He looked up and said, Miss Brother Bramall, I'm trusting the precious blood of Jesus. I said, praise the Lord. My friend, God will justify you if you'll trust the precious blood of Jesus for your salvation. Let's read on. And I want you to note something very special. Very special. God does it righteously. To declare his righteousness. What? A holy God forgiving the guilty sinner? Is he right to do it? Who'll take it in? He has a right to do it. And he declares his righteousness in doing it. Thank God. I know I don't have any righteousness. All have sinned. And as you can read in the preceding part of the chapter, there is none righteous. No, not one. Please may I present to you the wonderful truth. God is doing the right thing when you trust Jesus' blood for your salvation. To declare his righteousness. Read on. For the forgiveness of your sins. for the them that are, things that are passed through the fourth death. His righteousness. Oh, my beloved, I wish every sinner knew God is doing the right thing when he forgives a believing sinner. And if you've never believed on the Lord Jesus, please do it now. You don't have to wait to the end of the meeting either. But in your heart, say, Jesus, I will trust thee with my soul. Guilty, lost, and houseless, thou canst make me whole. There's none in heaven nor on earth like thee. Thou hast died for sinners, therefore, Lord, for me. My beloved, read on. Let's finish that 26th verse. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him, which only believeth in Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Have you put your faith in him? God's saying, I'm just. Well, I tell you one thing, if God wouldn't do it, he wouldn't be keeping his promise. But he's just. When he justifies a poor guilty sinner, the moment he or she believes on the Lord Jesus. May I raise the question again? Are you justified before God? Now, let me point out. It doesn't say being justified before men, but before God in this chapter. That's the most important thing. You've got to meet God about your sin. And may I say frankly, lovingly, as well as gladly, I am so glad God's never going to ask me about my sin. They're under the blood of Christ. Gone, 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 all my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea. And thank God, when you trust the precious blood, let me go quote the words of John in 1 John 1:7. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us. From how much? All things. Are you justified? Look with me in Romans chapter 5 for just a moment, please. A reference is there. I'd like to close this part with it. Let me begin reading, if I may, in verse 9, just verse 9. The opening part of verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood. And my beloved, if you have some hesitancy about trusting him as your Savior, look! His blood will justify you. Meaning, clear away the charges of your sin and give you the forgiveness that God offers you. Free, without money and without price. We close this part of the message. Are you justified? And if you're not yet justified, why not now? Trust the Lord Jesus as we sang. Of that precious blood, I do believe, I will believe that Jesus died for me, that on the cross he shed his blood from sin to set me free. Please, may I say lovingly, maybe I shouldn't be so critical, but I wish everybody preaching today was preaching that truth. There's a lot of preaching going on that doesn't put in the blood of Christ. Now let's look at the second. Justified before God, sanctified to God. Sanctified. Now, if you're justified, I want you to understand what it means now. You should be sanctified. Sanctified. And I must confess, and I should confess, there's much misunderstanding about the truth of sanctification. We might understand the meaning of justification, but there's more difference of opinion regarding the truth of sanctification in the minds of even Christians. But I would raise the question, how about being sanctified? Look with me in Romans chapter 6 and verse 11. I want to read a part of that verse. Corinthians, I beg your pardon, not that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. And I want you to know something. Let me go back to verse 10. And even in verse 9, Paul speaks about many people who are fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. They can't go into the kingdom of God. Will you please know what he says next in verse 11? Such were some of you. He's writing to Christians. He's writing to Christians who were like that before God saved their soul. Such were some of you. But please know what he goes on to say. But you're washed. You're washed. You've been made clean. And know what he says next. But ye are sanctified, and ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. For everybody that's been washed in the blood of Christ has also been sanctified. But let me please be very careful. What does it mean to be sanctified? What does sanctify mean? Don't be afraid of the word. For I'm sure it's found so frequently in the word of God. Sanctified. In fact, you will find, if I may suggest it, and how true it is, if you go to the Old Testament, you'll find the word sanctify 106 times. It's very much used there. Then you'll find it in the New Testament 31 times. Now, what does the word sanctify mean? Please let me say this clearly, simply. It means to be set apart. To be set apart. For when God saves you, let me quote Peter's words in 1 Peter chapter 3 when he said, the just one died for the unjust that he might bring us where? To God. And the moment you're saved, you're set apart to God. You're sanctified. You belong to God. Set apart. And even in the Old Testament, you have the word holy in the Old Testament so many times. In fact, I believe in the Old Testament. Do you know how many times the word holy is in the Old Testament? 400 times. 400 times. And in the New Testament, you'll find it also in the New Testament, and there you'll find it 12 times. The word holy. And what does the word holy mean? Listen. To be separated from what is unholy. And there were many vessels in the temple of God and in the tabernacle who were called holy vessels because they were separated for God and to God for His purpose. And what joy, let me give you another thought. The word holy and the word sanctified is also included in the meaning of the word saint, which you find in the Bible. You find in the Old Testament the word saint was there. You find 50 times in the Old Testament some of God's people were called, called saints. And in the New Testament, you know how many times the word saint is in the New Testament? 62 times. I remember a dear friend of mine up in Michigan years ago. He had just been saved, and he came into the fellowship of God's dear children, who gathered together in that particular place where I happened to be preaching. And he told me, he said, you know, one Sunday, he said, when I came to the meeting, he said, somebody said, hello there, St. Philip, how are you? He said, St. Philip, he looked around, who's the saint around here? My beloved, every believer in the Lord Jesus is a saint. Now, I didn't say that they're living saintly. I said they are a saint. It's a title. They mean set apart as the word holy, as the word sanctified, set apart. Now let me be very careful. I want to show you from the scripture, there are three aspects to the teaching of this truth to be sanctified. First, there is what I would call, let me mention the three of them together. There is a positional aspect of sanctification. Then there should be a practical aspect. And someday there'll be a permanent sanctification. Let's look at it. For how precious is this to real? Let me prove to you. God uses the word sanctify when a saint is saved, when a believer is saved, when a sinner comes to the Lord Jesus. He uses the word of God to show that they come to him. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30 we read, Christ is our sanctification, along with other truths that were there. Christ is our sanctification. Through Christ, we have been set apart to God. And as Peter said, he died the just one for the unjust to bring us where? To God. Listen. The moment you take the Lord Jesus as your Savior and trust him and his precious blood, you belong to God forever. Now let's look in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, if you please. The book of Hebrews chapter 10. And don't forget what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul had some bad Christians he was writing to gain they were in trouble. But he says, you're sanctified. But in Hebrews chapter 10, if you please, and please note the words of the Spirit of God as he writes in chapter 10 of this wonderful epistle. Chapter 10, verses 12 through 14, let me read with you. Here are the words. Well, let me begin at verse 9. When the Lord Jesus comes into the world in verse 9, saying, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first sacrifices that he may establish the second. By the which will, please note, by the which will God the Lord Jesus, doing the will of God to the death of Calvary, that you trust that death for your salvation, by the which will we are sanctified, set apart, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We go to verse 12, but let me read through verse 14. For this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. And note the 14th verse. For by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, them that are set apart. Can I repeat it again? The truth is precious. When a poor, guilty, hell-deserving sinner puts his and her trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as his and her, as her Savior, trusting that precious redeeming blood, God perfects them in his sight forever. They belong to him. It doesn't say that they live down here perfect forever. But he perfects them forever in his sight because of what Jesus has done upon the cross of Calvary. And what a joy to recognize that. What precious truth it is. Let me go to verse 14. I'm going to make a statement. I want you to see the truth of it. For by one offering, he has perfected forever. Can I say this? If you trust the blessed Lord Jesus as your Savior before God in his holy sight, you are perfected to him forever. We'll see more of it as we go on. But oh, the precious truth, the positional place. He set me apart. I'm his forever. Please, his forever, only his. Who the Lord and me shall part? Yes! He gives unto his sheep eternal life. They shall never perish. May I repeat it in another way? If you trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you're going to belong to God forever. Now listen, I'm going to be careful. You might say, well, what about how I'm going to live? I'm going to talk about how you're going to live, how you should live. But may I say, the moment you trust
Christ you hate forever. He doesn't lie. They shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. That position of sanctification in God's sight, I'm His forever, perfect, righteous in Christ. God made Him sin for us, that we through Him might become the righteousness of God in Christ. I think of the dear old hymn, as God looks down as He sees me, first of all He sees my Savior, then He sees me. Read it, read the Ephesian epistle, all the way through, and you'll find this repetition of two words, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. If any man be in Christ, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he's a new creation. In Christ, accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And what a joy, please can I say it with joy, when I trusted Him back in 1914, I became God forever. Have you been justified? You're His forever. But then, think of the other part of sanctification. Very necessary. There's a practical application of sanctification. Practical. Or I may say experimental while you're here upon the earth. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 1, please. 1 Peter chapter 1, right following the book of Hebrews. James, Peter, right following the book of Hebrews. Chapter 1. Now Peter is writing in verse 15 and 16. Let me read the words. And Peter is writing, as He which is called you is holy. He's writing to, no, let me go to verse 14. So you have in verse 14 the suggestion we should be obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Now let me put this perspective before you. When you're justified and He set you apart forever to be His, you're expected to be obedient to that one who saved you, who justified you, who set you apart for Himself as obedient children. Don't live like you used to live. There's got to be a practical sanctification. Now note in verse 15, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of living or conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. My beloved fellow believer, you and I who have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ as a practical application to this truth of sanctification, that in experience I should be getting holy, more and more like Him. Well, our dear friends, I'm so happy this time, Dad. Oh, to be like Him! What they were singing was the desire of practical sanctification, and someday we'll get the whole thing, we know. But to be like Him more and more. Or may I say more? Practical sanctification is what most saints are needing today. Go with me to Romans chapter 12, please. Verses 1 and 2, which I'm sure you're fully are acquainted with. And I want to show you from chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2 of Romans. After God saves you, after He justifies you, He expects something from you. I read verse 1 and 2. And notice, I beseech you therefore. Will you please note that? God doesn't say, I demand. He says, I beseech. I plead with you. He's been pleading with you to get saved. And after pleading with you, and you are saved, now He says, just as you made the decision to trust my Son as your Savior, and you listen to my plea to come to Him, I plead furthermore, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, what I've done for you. No, he goes on to say, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. My dear fellow believer, may I say to you as well as to myself, God expects His children to be set apart in their daily living for Him, in holiness of life, practical holiness. Practical holiness. And how can it be done unless we do what He says? I beseech you that ye present your body. Here's the whole thing. Just as much as I was willing to take Christ as my Savior, I should be willing to let Him have my life. I should be willing to let Him have my body. Listen, with this body I have sinned. And with that body that you have sinned with and I have sinned with, the Spirit of God has taken His presence in it that you and I might live for the Lord Jesus. Yieldedness to God. My fellow believer, please may I ask, my heart as well as yours, am I fully yielded? Am I fully yielded? Present your body. Will you please notice something? A living sacrifice. It'll cost you something. It's not a dead sacrifice, but it's a living sacrifice. But it's a sacrifice. There's a cost to pay. But it's worth it. But there's no question of doubt. Look, just as you and I were willing to trust Christ as our Savior, we should be just as willing to give Him what we are and who we are, these bodies and lives of ours, to do the will of God. That you might, as Paul has it very clearly, that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Can I pause for just a moment, consider again? Am I doing the will of God? My fellow believer, are you doing the will of God? In your life, am I? Let me give you some suggestions of help. The divine provision. How can we more and more become like that blessed Lord Jesus, our friend, who is singing, our brother and sister sang on? Oh, to be like Him. For I'm sure that you recognize that if there's a practical holiness, it's because Christ is being manifested. And Him alone. How can I become more practically set apart? John chapter 17 and verse 17. The Lord Jesus prayed for you and me and for all of His own to the Father. Sanctify them. Set them apart by Thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now it raises the question, look, don't you think you'll be a sanctified Christian in practical experience if you neglect the Word of God? Can't be done. The Word of God is a source of help to set you apart. Let me quote the words of the psalmist, Psalm 119, where he quotes, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to Thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against it. Please let me say this. If you're troubled about not living right as a Christian, get to the book. You need the word of God if you've been neglecting it.
The Word of God alone can help you and me grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And God's provision is found in His Word. It's not only that. We have a living intercessor in heaven above the Lord Jesus, as you have in Hebrews 7:25. He ever liveth for us in heaven above, making intercession for us. He is able to say to the uttermost, them that come to God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And we've got a Savior who's pleading for us in glory. He is able to keep us from falling. You're troubled about falling as a Christian? There's only one that can help you. The Lord Jesus is able to keep you from falling. He's at your disposal, a great high priest, in Hebrews chapter 4. And then further may I say, not only do you have the Word of God, not only do you have a living Savior pleading for you in heaven, but you've got the Holy Spirit within your heart. Can I just put it together? There's many things could be said, but to put it very completely and compactly. The Word of God in the life. The Word of God in the heart. Touch in contact with that living Savior who prays for us daily, momentarily, and the Holy Spirit within. My beloved, you couldn't ask any greater help to live the life He wants you to live. And be practically sanctified. Then there's the last phase of sanctification. It's the permanent one. As you have in 1 John 3 and verse 2, someday I shall be like Him. We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now please may I put them in that order again carefully. There's a position of sanctification that as soon as you're justified and saved, you're set apart to God forever. There's a practical manifestation of sanctification in your godly life if you live for Him according to His Word. And when He comes, spirit, soul, and body will be completely sanctified and redeemed. And that leads us to the last thought. For the last thing God's going to do, I'm going to be glorified. Justifying by faith in His blood, sanctifying, and then when He comes, I'm going to be glorified. You know what? Let me say something to my fellow believers. You're not glorified yet. But oh, what a joy it will be when we see each other glorified. Every saint of God appearing in glory with Christ. Let me quote the words of Paul, Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our light, shall appear, then shall we appear with Him in glory. Let me quote Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God and standing in grace and in hope of the glory of God. As a sinner, I came short of the glory of God. As a believer who's trusted Christ, you're going to see me in the glory of God. And I'll see you, my fellow believer, in the glory of God. Then you ask the question, are you justified? And let's raise the question to our hearts as believers. How much am I sanctified experimentally? So set apart positionally and someday permanently. How about my life? And then thank God by His grace. Someday I'll be glorified. Why? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Shall we pray before we sing our closing hymn, number 354? Father, we pray in Thy precious name, Lord Jesus, Thou hast blessed the truth. If anyone here is not justified, please, Lord, convict them and save them. They can trust the Lord Jesus if they will. And Lord, if they trust him now, may they tell him. We'll be glad to hear about it. And Lord, we pray too that we who are saints will be more practical in our sanctification while we're living. For we thank thee we are set apart forever by thee. We thank thee, Lord, someday we'll be completely like thee. And oh, Lord, it will be a day of glory and nothing but glory. Though we once came short of the glory of God, we have the hope of the glory of God in our hearts.